What were your first words? Most of us can't remember, so we depend on the accounts of our parents. Yet it's true that our speaking had a beginning. There was a time when we couldn't speak. There was a moment when our cries turned to coos, and a time when our coos morphed into intelligible words. Not so with God. God's speech had no beginning. As Augustine, AD 354 to 430, said, God's speaking is without beginning and without end. But who was God speaking to before he created? Tradition has it that a skeptic once asked Augustine a similar question. What was God doing before he created? Annoyed, Augustine replied, preparing hell for people who ask such questions. Trinitarian Fellowship. While we can appreciate Augustine's humorous response, the question is not altogether inappropriate. In fact, we get a glimpse into what God was doing before creation when we look carefully at Jesus' high priestly prayer. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. John chapter 17, verse 24. Jesus reveals here that before creation, the Father and the Son were engaged in communication with each other. We know from other texts that this communication also involved the Holy Spirit. In turn, this communication freely overflowed into creation when God made man imago Dei, that is, in the image of God, and therefore capable of receiving communication from God and communicating back to him. In other words, capable of enjoying communion with God. It may seem odd to begin a book on the art of communication by discussing such lofty theological concepts as the Trinity and the Imago Dei, but all knowledge is born out of true knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. God's triunity is the key to understanding not only God's speech, but how His speech relates to our speech, including the implications for how we use and misuse the gifts of language and communication. The Trinity underscores the foundational principle that communication did not originate with humans. As Mark Thompson writes, it is not enough to speak of human language as a creaturely phenomenon that is commandeered, or even sanctified, as a vehicle for divine self-revelation. God is Himself the source of human language. He is the first speaker, and invests language with a deep significance for generating and nourishing personal relationships. In other words, communication is first a divine characteristic and of divine origin that functions as the means of personal communion. Speech and language, therefore, are a theological exercise. This is why Vern Poitras argues, approaches that conceive of language only with reference to human beings are accordingly reductionistic. Exploring methodology while ignoring theology will inevitably leave us frustrated in our attempts to communicate effectively and faithfully. To study communication is to humbly explore the eternal fellowship of our triune God, to ponder His ways, and to expand our understanding of God and of His images. If you want to know how to be a better communicator, a better speaker, a better listener, a better parent, friend, spouse, or sibling, if you want to relate to others better, you must first look to our triune God. To know how to speak well, one must know God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who speaks according to the perfection of His communicative beauty. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks. Psalm 50, verse 1.